Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show. We ask that you grab a pen and a pad and go on the journey with co-host Shahid and his host tonight, Imam Mazin Pasha. Our goal is to examine the sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's and don'ts and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, and growth-filled marriage. Our learning lab shares lessons that, inshallah, lead to a beautiful and a memorable wedding day and a fulfilling marriage and faith, perfection, peace, and joy. We're going to have the do's, 25 do's and don'ts tonight. So let me not waste any more time and bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum, Mark. How are you this evening?
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam. I'm doing just great. And to the IWDM radio listening audience, as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host, the facilitator, and the producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. Just want to let you know that our beloved sister Quran Shakir would not be with us tonight. She had death in her family, so please let's make dua prayer for her and her family and for the deceased in the family. We ask that Allah do bless that soul, forgive the soul any faults or sins, shortcomings that it may have had in this life, and if it's Allah's will and by his permission to admit to the paradise. And to that we say, I mean. So tonight, for those who are listening in for the first time, we want you to know that this is your learning lab. And so we invite you to participate. This is a classroom style. If you have questions or comments or anything that will be said tonight in the 25 do's or don'ts of Islamic courtship, or it may be from previous episodes that we've had thus far, we do invite you to press 1 to come into the queue, and my engineer, Rashid Salam, will alert me that you got your hand up, a question or comment. We also want to invite those who just tune in each and every Thursday and absorb all this great information and education that is disseminated each and every Thursday. Our special guest facilitator and myself would love to hear from you, even if you just want to call up and give the greetings and let us know that what you're hearing tonight is truly resonating with you in appreciation for this learning lab. We want to also say to those who may be listening in by way of the internet that if you want to participate, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, it is 714-816-4673. We also want you at this time that you're thinking, this is a family affair. This is a theme here on IWDM Radio with all these learning labs that we have. The theme is, this is a family affair. So this is an excellent opportunity to contact family members, your friends, your associates, neighbors, community members, extended family, and inform them that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is on and is about the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, not only just for Muslims, but these do's and don'ts can help those who are not Muslim. If you come to the Learning Lab with an open mind and an open heart, we also want to advise you that you need to bring a pen and pad. That's all you need is a pen and pad. Perchance you might find something that's noteworthy. You can jot it down, and you can press 1 to ask a question or make a comment, or you may want to add something to what we will say tonight. We want to also state that we do have some staples here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as well as the Parenting Family Reconstruction sources that we use. I didn't say resources, but sources that we use. Number 1 is Al-Quran. The 2nd is the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, and the prayers and peace be upon him in the demonstration of the Quran, and also the tafsir, that is the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. And so as Rashid Salam has already said, that we're in the midst of the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And so with no further ado, I'd like to introduce our special guest facilitator, who's a brother and friend of mine, the former talk show host of our sister station, AM 360 Radio. He hosted for a few years there on AM 360, what I always like to call the ABC production, Al-Islam based conversation, and also financial literacy equals financial independence, outstanding production for years there on our sister station, AM 360. It's an honor to have him as our special guest facilitator tonight, my brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. As-salamu alaykum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu to you, brother Mark, and the listening audience.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. It's always an honor to have you, my dear brother. You know, been in radio for a while, and you have appeared on some of the productions that I've had, and when you had your production at AM360, I think I was one of the few people that you invited on to. So alhamdulillah, I consider that to be an honor. I consider that to be an honor. So hopefully you'll enjoy yourself tonight and we'll have some fun. But we are very, very serious, you know, to our radio listening audience in regards to the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. Just want to just give a few things that we have already discussed, Imam Pasha, just to kind of bring you a little bit up to snuff. Some of the things that we have discussed that I think is very, very important to note. The first thing in terms of Islamic courtship, it's not on there as number 1, but Allah guided me and directed me to see that the first thing in terms of Islamic courtship is to have the right niyyah and be able to state your niyyah. Your niyyah is your intention. It is your motivation. We have made the distinction here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that we don't use the verbiage dating. We've said that dating doesn't necessarily have to have an objective. A person can just date for however long they choose to date, and they could date more than one person, and this could go on for however long. But when we start talking about courtship, and especially Islamic courtship, it has an objective. The objective is to try to find a mate, a spouse. And also, you have to state your intention. You know, you have to state your intention. It can't be just assumed, you know, that there's an interest. But there's not an interest in terms of marriage. Other than that, we would just have people pretending as though they're interested, but they really didn't have the intention of actually looking for a mate in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. So that's first and foremost very, very important. And also, when we differentiate from Western society thinking in terms of dating as we know it in the continental USA, oftentimes is for to make impressions. But Islamic courtship is for expression, expressing who you really are. You're looking to try to make the invisible visible to you and to see the honesty, the sincerity, the integrity, the commonality, to see if there is compatibility and what it is that Allah promises in the Quran that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. This is very, very important, so it's very, very serious. And it's the sacred institution of marriage is so serious that the social dynamic has changed drastically from even the time Imam Pasha, when you and I were coming up, and oftentimes a lot of marriages took place because some of the children that we grew up with in the same neighborhood went to the same school, the same recreational centers. Their parents knew our parents. They knew who their friends were, and vice versa. And also was being taught in the home similar principles and values. Now, this may not seem very important, but today you don't have that same social dynamic. So courtship becomes even more important today, because as we've seen people go to court, or maybe we've gone to court, there's usually a judge, if not a jury, that's there, that's looking to find information, looking to find proof and evidence before a decision is made. So we can see that that is what it is that we're actually looking to do in the courtship phase. So it is needed and necessary to make a determination or decision as in the courtship if, in fact, there can possibly be a partnership. So this is very, very important, and it requires good communication and observation, which is, for all relationships, is the natural order operation. So it's very important for us to note that the first thing is the foundation for all the relationships is our relationship with our Lord and Creator. This is very, very important. I don't care what type of relationship it is, whether it is in courtship, partnership, business, neighbors, community, whatever the relationship is, you know, the foundation should be the relationship that you have with your Lord and Creator, because then you're going to be the best partner. You're going to be the best neighbor. You're going to be the best friend. You're going to be the best community member. Or what? Because your conscious regard for God's word, His will and His way, and the guidance of the Quran. So I just wanted to state that. And then the first thing that was stated is the Istikhara prayer. The Istikhara prayer is a prayer that is prescribed for all believers when you're making or trying to make a major decision, a major decision. And I would think, you know, Imam Naeem Pasha, that looking at selecting a spouse would be a major decision, especially when we realize that Allah has established this relationship, the sacred institution of marriage. But also the Prophet Muhammad said it is one half of the deen or one half of the religion. So I would say that's a major decision. You know, that's a major decision, and it requires that we learn the Istikhara prayer or at least the constitution of the Iftikhar prayer, and a few of those things is that we acknowledge that Allah is the best knower, that He knows and we know not, that He is Al-Aleem, the all-knowing. He is Al-Basir, the all-seeing. He's Al-Rahman, He's the merciful benefactor. So Allah knows and we know not. So therefore, we are relying upon Allah in terms of His guidance, and we're asking Allah to bless us with what it is that we actually need. And we try to get out of our own way oftentimes in what it is that we want. And not only for now, but also for the future life. So I just wanted to state those things, just some of the things we talked about, but I think we left off last week with number 8 in terms of don't spill the beans too early. Don't spill the beans too early. And sometimes people get a little excited, you know, Imam Pasha, you know, you haven't been married in a long time and nobody seemed to have an interest, and finally, at last, somebody have an interest in you, you have an interest in them, it's a mutual interest, you get pretty excited and everything, and we're very excited, we're filled with anxiety, we want to tell somebody, I think that this is the one, but we really haven't taken the opportunity to really get to know them. So one of the things, the last thing that we talked about last week, which is, I believe, number 8, is don't spill the beans too early. But you can go back into the archives and retrieve the other episodes that we've had, as we had Kim and Mustafa Mujahid there in Atlanta, Georgia, to join us the first 2 weeks. And so tonight we have Imam Nazim Pasha. So Imam Pasha, we are starting with number 9 here tonight on the 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic Courtship. And number 9 states that don't have to have the confidence, to have the confidence to make the first move. I'm going to say something and then get some of your commentary on this. This is a little different line of thinking in Western society, because in Western society, I think most people will agree that they believe the man should make the first move. In other words, he's like the hunter, and the women are like the game. And I would say the social dynamic is this, that even in the Muslim community, the Muslim, and those who are not Muslim, I think idealistically speaking, most women would love to be pursued instead of being the pursuer, idealistically. But realistically, they may not happen for all women. So I think that, as Imam Muhammad has said, when we study the Sirah, the life of the Prophet Muhammad, even before he became the Prophet, Khadija, Lady Khadija, Rahimahullah, Anna, she had an interest in Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Mm-hmm. And she's so much of an interest in terms of she was very attracted to his character. You know, he was seen as Asadiq and also El Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. So she sent her sister, her friend, her representative Nafisa, to inquire, to represent her interests. And so, long story short, we won't go through all of that. He found out that it was Khadija that had an interest. Not only was she assertive in pursuing him, but also proposed to him. Now, this is contrary to Western society in terms of what it is that they advocate or promote in terms of the man, you know, being the assertive one. And I do think that if that's looked at and considered, that perhaps it could precipitate more marriages in our community. You see, and if they would follow that that model of Khadijah, not just pursuing anybody, as a man wouldn't pursue anyone, but they would have to see something that would be attractive. And I would think that being truthful and trustworthy would be two qualities you look at. So with that being said, I know I've been talking quite a bit, but trying to set the table here. And also, Imam Nazim Pasha, you know, have the confidence to make the first move. It's like, it's not always have to be the man that makes the first move, because the course of history would have been changed greatly if we asked ourselves the question, would Muhammad ibn Abdullah been gotten married before he became the prophet? As the answer probably is not only yes, but emphatically yes, but it wouldn't have been to Khadijah. But Khadijah was assertive, and she was the one, as we say in the language today, she made it happen with Allah's help in that regard. But she was the assertive one, and so consequently, that was a marriage of 25 years to her, who later became the seal of the prophets and the messenger of Allah. So with that being said, Imam Nazim Pasha, what's your thinking in regards to have confidence in making the first move? Would that bother you? If you were, I ain't put you on the spot. Would that bother you if you were pursued instead of being the pursuer? Nazim?
Well, that's a good question, and I won't start with that, but I want to back up a little bit and speak a little bit about spilling the beans and being premature.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a problem. Anything that's premature, you know, you want the child to come after 9 months or whatever. If the child is premature,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's consequences and there's, you know, challenges that won't be there. Same thing if you get ahead of yourself, you know, and you get out there and you're aggressive and whatnot, you've involved Allah, and you think Allah has found your mate, and this is going to be her, or that's going to be him, and you already done got married and had children, and you haven't even asked her name, you know, or asked his name. So that can be problematic. You see somebody from a distance, you're thinking there's love in first sight, and you know, and you sighted her, and she made eye contact with you, and you read everything into it, you know, your whole scripture, and she hasn't said anything. She just smiled. You know, so
yes,
those are some of the problems that can happen, especially in the Western culture, because not only do you say that the first sight was what caused you to start thinking and moving like this, but you were in love at first sight. And they'll let you know. It's a phenomenon that they even believe that rarely happens. But you've already said, but this is it. This is her. This is him. This is what I'm looking for. So not to prolong that, but I think that you have to have gotten go and tie up what you just said earlier about making the first move. I think there's a lot of factors. Today's woman is not the humble woman of old, you know, that was kind of innocent and kind of bashful and whatnot. They're not that way. They're aggressive and they have a certain amount of things. But if they pursue it tastefully and with dignity, I think it can be appropriate. I think it can be pulled off. But if you look too much and sound too aggressive, you might not get the point of looking attractive to your mate, especially when you're dealing with the male. If you're a little more aggressive than we used to, you're a little more too anxious to get, convince me that you really are attracted to me and you want to spend the rest of your life with me, it's going to show up somewhere down the line, and it's going to cause whatever you were planning to backfire, because
mm-hmm.
you just didn't make yourself known and make yourself available. You were really aggressive, and that's a no-no. Lastly, back to premature, you don't want to say the L word too early. The L word, love, is that you can't hardly know me. You can't hardly love me. You don't even know me, and that's both male and female. You're saying things that I'm putting me on a pedestal. I've had so many women feel like you're over-complimenting me and I actually thinking I can walk on water and all that, and you can't deal without me. And the whole world revolves around me and all that. So those things are really a little premature to start out with. And what you can do is be honest about yourself and show the other person that you've gotten comfortable in your own skin. And mm-hmm. whatever you're trying to share or show her, you are genuinely concerned with her well-being. You have no agenda. It's not saying this other stuff because I know you like what I'm saying, or I'm trying to flatter you into convincing you that you're God's gift to me. Those things are not going to have a lasting effect because, first mm-hmm. of all, like I said, it's hard to meet the expectations when you don't even know the person that you're telling it to. You can't
yes.
expect them to expect you to do this stuff just because you saw them from a distance or you had this preconceived idea or you were too physical, you know, 36, 24, 36, you know, and you start mm-hmm. objectifying with body parts. Oh, man, she had great legs. Okay, well, now we left off some important other things that are just as important as her physical body because last mm-hmm. and ending my part of it, that is not her. That is not him.
Right.
The human form does not make the human being. It just doesn't. And when they open up their mouth, then they will tell you who they really are. He might have been 6'2", 215, dark and handsome, but he's not until he opened up his mouth, or she's not until she opened up her mouth. Then you begin to get an idea of who this person is that's in this human form that may not be developed yet. It might be underdeveloped. It might be undeveloped. And you'll know soon enough when the person begins to speak and then act. You'll know exactly whether this 36, 24, 36 is all it's supposed to be or whether or not it's just the human form mm-hmm. that the person has developed, you know,
it's excellent, you know, excellent commentary. So, Imam Pasha, you remember the old Motown group, The Temptations. They once had a hit song out, Beauty's Only Skin Deep.
Yes.
It's only skin deep. So you would be, if you're the type of person that's looking for the real beauty would be more internal.
Yes.
More so than external, because you really have to live with the internal person. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the short list of why one would marry. Beauty was on that short list. Wealth was on that short list. And lineage or social status was on that short list. But also taqwa. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he placed taqwa over those three. He placed taqwa over those three. Is it possible that a person that was God-conscious, or conscious, regardful of God's word, will, and way, that will help to shape and form that person, could also have beauty, could also have wealth, and have social status. Now, Lady Khadija, Rahimahullah Anna, she did. But I'm speaking even on a higher level. You know, we're talking about inner beauty here. And if we only just see wealth, and I know you know quite a bit about that, only in dollars and cents. I used to say to my boys when I had my business, and when I paid them, I said, as you learn, you earn. The money you'll spend, but the knowledge you'll keep. Trying to impress upon them how much it was that you actually learned was more important, because it will continue to help and aid you and assist you in making money, you see, and social status. And Allah tells us in the Quran that the most honored of you in His sight is the one that's most consciously regardful of me. Sometimes it said who's most pious or what, but the Arabic is taqwa. You see, so it's possible that a person could hit, you might say, the jackpot But if we just in pursuit of those other three in the short list of the prophet, that may be all it is that we get. But time could actually change the other three. But a person could live this life and transition, still being God conscious, as opposed to the fact that when you met them, in terms of how you define beauty, it may would change after a period of time. It will change after a period of time. And what they may have had when you met them wealth-wise, that could be diminished greatly after a period of time. And the social status that you once had, maybe no longer have that. But that person could be a beautiful person. And sometimes we refer to a brother or sister as a beautiful brother, a beautiful sister. So I think that what it was that Khadijah was actually attracted to was the character. The character. So when you look at those two things that the Prophet Muhammad was identified as being truthful and trustworthy, would those be two qualities that you think? Now, this is not only for a woman looking for a man, a Muslima looking for a Muslim man, but that's vice versa, too. Would those be two qualities, would you say, that would be a good starting point to be truthful and trustworthy? Imam Pasha.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, and I want to kind of reel it back in because sometimes you get excited and you want to say everything and everything, give it all the answers and everything. But as I calm down and get my focus on, I'm really trying to help people come away with some tools, you know, that they can take and universally apply, not just for a specific situation and whatnot. And one of the things that you're mentioning is character and what builds character. I've always been under the belief, especially since I've been doing a few of the seminars and going to seminars, is that if you're with a person, and it doesn't have to be a Muslim or a Christian or whatever, but if they're letting their belief system give them their value system, see, that's an age-old thing, and it's very traditional, and it can't be seen, but it has roots, and they're deep. And when a person say, I believe, you need to pay attention because they're telling you something about their value system. And like I said before, if you can maybe don't like football and she likes, you know, the ballet or the what we used to call chick flicks and all that, but her value system is really going to tell you what really you can hang your hat on, or hang your clothes on, because that's what's going to keep going when the ages, the hair has gotten gray and gravity has taken over to some certain extent. That value system will still be in there because it has that kind of resilience, because it's not necessarily dictated by man. If they used to say, let your conscience be your guide. You know, some intuitive things. You just sense something is wrong or not right. You know, when your mate comes home, you say, hey, how was your day, baby? And they, all right. You know right away that means it wasn't all right. You would have heard a little more energetic, all right, but something. So you cook the meal or you make some space in your life. Okay, well, let's talk about it later. Because you know that they done brought their work home or they at home and they take their stuff at home to work. So those are something that you've seen before that very much you can invest in. A person's character, and that because it comes from a different source than just maybe what the culture is saying or what they think you want to hear. It's not generated or motivated by that. It's really the way they really are, the way they've grown up, the way they want to end their life, following a book that's bigger than them and guiding them and directing them, and you can put your trust in that and your confidence in that.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Very well said. Yes, some very valuable points you know, there. You know, when we, you know, think about, you know, all of this that goes in to this courtship, I think that we can, as Allah says, look back into the past. And sometimes we think that only that is being said only when something bad happens or what, but sometimes some good things happen in the past, you see. So this is a true narrative, you know, with the Prophet Muhammad. This was a true narrative. And obviously there was no social concept that the man should actually be pursuing, but these are some parameters that should be used in terms of looking at the character that which is invisible. You want it to become visible, and if in fact that the chemistry, oftentimes, as you well know, chemistry is a strong mutual attraction that two people have for each other, oftentimes that's related to the physicality of the person. But chemistry can be seen in other forms, whereas that you may be a good community person, very active in the community, have excellent qualities. And just through observation, now remember, Lady Khadija sent her representative to just inquire, you know, if there was even an interest in marriage. And sometimes in the social dynamic today, we may not know that person. So many are strangers, you know, and say, well, I know she's Muslim if you're a man. And she may say, I've seen him here, I've seen him there. I believe he's Muslim too. So where's the representative to make the inquiry, to let it be known that there's an interest? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported as saying that anybody that you have an interest in, that you should observe them. And that makes good sense, you know, before an approach. And I'm glad you mentioned the word aggressive, because there is a very distinct difference between being assertive and being aggressive and being over-aggressive, you know, in that regard. So when we look at that narrative, Nafisa, who was Khadija's representative, she was not aggressive at all, but she represented the interests of her sister in the inquiry in that regard. And I think that's very important, because, you know, we put a lot of emphasis in terms of Wali, but if we understand and going back and look at the history of Wali, it was specifically designed for those young women that were virgins and no really experience in relationships, and to really protect their interests. And one of the things that in the Iskahar prayer, we also note that Allah, in the Quran, I should say, but in the Quran, Allah tells us that He is our protecting friend. So we want to have, we have that and know that and understand that, then we should utilize that, but utilize one to represent you that is a protecting friend, if in fact you think that you actually need that help and that assistance in the courtship phase. So if you want to make any other comment on that, if not, then we'll move on to number 10. Imam Pasha.
I just mentioned one other thing that I think that we need to be aware of as we go forward, and it was mentioned in sometimes as red flags. When you hear do and don't, it doesn't mean it's dogmatic. You know, it doesn't mean...
Yeah, right.
you gotta not hear, you know, you can do this, but you can't do that, you know, or like we used to tell people, do as I say do, but don't do as I do. Well, see, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a sound logic that you can follow to a conclusion, and it will tell you after you get there, how you got there, what you may need to do to stay there, and that you arrived at your destination, but you're a little bit off the mark. It's a little further down the road. Or you reach where you were going, but it's a dead-end street. It's not going any further. So that's something that you don't want to do if you can avoid it. And one of the ways that you avoid that is with OPM. What is OPM? other people's mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn from other people's mistakes, and they can tell you, look, young blood, you, if you do this here, that's going to be a problem. You know, if you get too invested in yourself and you become selfish, then you got a problem. Mm-hmm. So these are the do's and don'ts that we're talking about, that they're proven mm-hmm. principles that will prevent something from happening that doesn't necessarily have to happen, especially when you look at all the facilities and all the utilities and all the provisions that you have available, you know, five senses, and you have, like I said, other people who've been down that road before, and you have a 1,500-year-old book that is so filled with wisdom that it astounds the scientific community when they get into it, and they immediately adapt it. You look at today's world now. Imam Muhammad said this, I don't know how many years ago before it started happening. You'll recognize my influences by the changes that people make, because now they have a way to say it that they didn't have to say it before.
Yes.
And one of the words that I remember him saying was, think about your thinking. It finally found its way into the community of the marketplace of ideas, and now they're using it as freely as if it was their own, because they're giving themselves that permission slip that this knowledge came from somewhere else, but it's the knowledge that could get us where we're trying to go, so we're going to incorporate it like it was ours all the time.
Yes. Yes, alhamdulillah. That's a valuable point. Very, very valuable point. I want to say to those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night. As I stated earlier, my co-host, Karan Shakir, is not with us here tonight. She had death in the family, so please make dua for the deceased and also for her and the family. However, we have a very distinguished and esteemed special guest facilitator, a good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. He's given us some excellent insight and wisdom, and he's sharing with us on these 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship, you know. And he just got through telling us, you know, how we should be looking at the do's and don'ts. And also, alhamdulillah, I want to say, if you have a question or comment, we ask that you do press 1. Press 1, come into the queue, and you can ask the question or comment. We'll refer it to our special guest facilitator. So at this point, Rashid Salam, do we have any callers with their hands up, a question or comment? Do you have a question or comment at this point, Rashid? Are you taking notes or what?
You know I'm always taking notes, always taking notes. So we have quite a few hands in their pocket. We don't have any hands out there.
Oh,
pocket
we got quite a few hands. Oh, come on, y'all. Get your hands out of your pocket. I know you got a question or comment. Some of the things have been said, you know. You have to think about what you're thinking about here. And there's a lot of things that are thought-provoking, so don't be shy. You know, if have something that you like to add on to it, we appreciate that. And for those of you who are listening in by way of the internet, we have a lot of people that are listening by way of the internet. For you to be a participant in this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, you do have to call into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673, 714-816-4673. Imam Nazim Pasha and myself would love to hear from you as we continue on in the Courtship and Marriage.
Yes, sir. Let me say this, and he's doing a wonderful job of taking the place of your host. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. Nice to hear you again. Well, that's my salam. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's good being heard.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Rashid Salam. So keep us posted here.
I will definitely post it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Nazim, we got to move on to, I believe, number 10 here. Those of you know I'm not able to read, so I'm just thankful and grateful. Allah blessed me with a pretty good mind and memory here. Number 10, it says, do not rely so much on your friends. Don't rely so much on your friends. You know, a lot of times, you know, Imam Pasha, you get into the courtship and everything, and you have friends, and maybe the first time in terms of encounter, you want it always to be halal, in a halal environment. You're trying to get to know. And so, okay, first time you actually maybe, say, go out to dinner or something of that nature or what, you might invite some of your friends along and everything. But in this courtship, as I stated earlier, you're looking for information. You're looking for information in regards to this person. And sometimes just having friends all the time can become somewhat cumbersome in terms of actually you have this communication. I want to say now to our radio listening audience, a few years back on the sister station when I was working with Munira Habil in Masjid Taqwa there in Chicago, that she and I put the finishing touches. I put the finishing touches on that premarital questionnaire, which is 9 different categories. And there's questions under each one of those categories. And I did transpose one of the numbers in the natural progression of the relationship so that you wouldn't start with some heavy, heavy questions right out of the bat. It's just a natural evolution of relations. And I strongly recommend that you get that, and you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. bringittothelab@gmail.com. If you'd like to have that, we will gladly send it to you, you know, so that you can have that in your possession. I think this is good, and I really would love to see our resident imams also have that. It may not be all the questions, but there are questions on there that sometimes people just don't think about in terms of their communication, because it's just the excitement, the anxiety, the enthusiasm, and awe, you know, that people experience, and just the fact that they're in a courtship phase. And so this is needed and necessary. So this will help in terms of communication. And sometimes people don't know what to say. So if they have friends that are there, you may have friends that are trying to intervene for you, to speak up for you and all of that. And there is a point in that evolution that you're going to have to speak up for yourself. You're going to have to be very overt and speak up for yourself. So this number 10 is don't be relying so much on your friends. And then you have friends that want to just know everything and all things that's going on in your relationship. So, Imam Pasha, what's your thinking and view on that? So don't rely so much on your friends. Have you ever seen that in your lifetime in the courtship phase or what?
Yes. It's a very good question, and it's sort of enigmatic. I mean, because on the one hand, you should be able to, but on the other hand, especially in today's time, one of the dangers that you got out there in social media is that they talk about people's lives, like you grew up with them, and like you're an authority on this and that. When they open up the comment box, you know, what do you have to say? And people talk about the people with their first name and. On major decisions, my marriage, you know, my the way I accrued my wealth, how much alimony, palimony, prenuptials, you know, all of this gets out there, and that's behind closed doors. That's my private business that's gotten public. One of the ladies was talking about the conveyor ship of Britney Spears. She said Netflix went and made 3 movies about Britney Spears, and Britney Spears wasn't even none of the movies. He said, how are you going to take my life and put it on full blast in front of the public, and I'm not even in the picture? You haven't asked for my permission or anything. And you think you don't even ask me, are you doing me a favor? I haven't even got the issue resolved, and here you are putting it out there for the public to see. And then you ask them, well, what do you think she should have did? You know, so no, your circle of friends should be very small, and you should do like we used to say in the old days, consider the source.
Mm.
And the best source is to go to Allah and his messenger and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his book. And you should use words, find out what these words mean, bi ibnillah, mashallah, and inshallah. Inshallah is if Allah wills. Mashallah if Allah pleases. And bi ibnillah if Allah permits. So once you get those three down and get the context of say them and apply them, then your activity or your next action will be based on that. And like you said, and I've said the prayer that makes me, puts me in touch with who I want to be, the guiding light as I move forward with these things. And it may not be Rahman. It may not be Shafika. It may be you and Allah, trusting in Allah, and then maybe sharing it with a person. Because last little thing, they may have a little bitter blood in them because their last two marriages didn't work. And they've given up on marriage and given up on men or given up on women, and they're not the best to talk to, because whatever they're going to share with you, it may be positive, but you can ensure it's probably going to be a little negative.
Yes, yes. No, that's excellent. No, there's some very valuable points that you bring up. And you know, Allah wants us to rely upon him in terms of the guidance. This is paramount. It really is paramount. You know, even in the courtship phase, we have to refer back to the Iskahar prayer. You know, so don't rely so much on your friends and what it is that even they might say. Allah says in the Iskahar prayer, he knows that which is the unseen, which is the unseen. Allah tells us in the Quran, he knows that which is revealed and that which is concealed. So when we're seeking the guidance of Almighty God, Allah, we are seeking the guidance from one who can see what it is that we can't see. And this is one of the parts of the constitution of that Iskahar prayer, that Allah is the best knower. And it's also said that Allah knows and we know not. This is why, you know, you mentioned the Quran and Al-Fatiha, where Allah says in the Al-Fatiha that he is Maliki Yawmi Deen. One of those expressions is that Allah is the sole, S-O-L-E, master of the day of judgment, the day of religion, but the day of judgment. You see, who would be most qualified to judge than Allah, because he knows what is seen and what is unseen. We most certainly don't know what's unseen. So oftentimes, for example, we can't always know the niyyah, the intention or the motivation of a person. It may be very subtle, and we may not be able to detect that. And some of us don't even know what it is that we see when we're looking at it. So, and oftentimes we could be a poor judge of what it is that we thought we saw, you know, in that regard. So you don't want to rely so much in terms of your friends. Some of them mean well, but some of them don't have a very good in terms of vision or in terms of helping to make a decision. It is the vision of Allah, vision, decision. But he sees all, and he sees all that is actually seen, tangible, but unseen, intangible. And so we have to keep that in the forefront of our mind in the courtship phase, because we want to make the right decision. We want to make the right decision if it's the first time, second time, third, fourth, or even more in that regard. We want to get it right. So who is best, you understand, the summons, than the Lord of all of creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High. And so when we keep that in mind, in terms of if we don't memorize the whole of the Iskahar prayer in making our major decision, at least the main points of this dua. It's a dua. It's a dua because we are summoning, we're asking Allah for something. We are requesting something from Almighty God, Allah. This is very, very important. We can't do that with another human being. We can't. They may try to the best of their ability, but there's shortcomings there. There's no shortcomings with our Lord and Creator. Just want to say that. So want to say to those listening to IWDM Radio, as you listen to the commentary of our special guest facilitator, Imam Nazim Pasha and myself, if you have questions or comments, you want to add something to what it is that we're saying, or you might just want to let it be known that what you're hearing is resonating with you. That's the third party here. So I also want to invite you to press 1 at this time, and we'd love to hear from you. So, Imam Nazim Pasha, would you like to add anything else to don't rely so much on your friends? Your friends can be friends, but you don't want to have them in everything, as you said. And I'm glad you brought up social media because the way I see it, and I don't see so well physically, I see silhouettes and stuff of that nature, but the way I see it, really internally, I see it that there is much too much in the usage of social media, things that should be very personal, very private. Now you understand a lot of things is being exposed that should not be exposed, and the misuse, the abuse of social media, it has great benefits, but it's misused by so many people, not all, but so many people today. And it's being utilized even in relationships and all. And no consciousness, sensitivity in how it's being used. And oftentimes it's being used to abuse people. I don't really care for that myself. So, Imam Nazim, anything you'd like to say before we move on to the next one that I believe is number 11?
Okay. Just very briefly, while you were talking, a couple of things were coming into my head and whatnot. And one of them is that we have another guideline that we can use to determine whether the information should be, you know, transfer from that person to you in the name of a friendship. We look, is it harm and benefit? Is it more harmful or beneficial that I do this? You know, and then you come into, okay, well, there's this statistical data, it's empirical data, and it's pretty accurate that no matter who you're with, there's going to be 80% that you lack and 20% that you don't. So what does that mean? That means that at all times, it's an inside job. They have to fix that thing that they're falling short of. You can't fix it for them, and you can't try to change them because you would be a better husband if you, or you'd be a better wife if you did A, B, C, D. Well, it's, no. They have to see the need and the value in it, and they change it themselves. Because what will happen, when you go to work on them and tailor them to your needs and the kind of person that you want as a mate, you tamper with nature, and you're going to get a Frankenstein situation there. Because you created someone who can only function with you. And the first thing you need to look at when you do that, how many limitations do I have to deal with the complexity of changing somebody so they will work just for me? I want to wrap them around my finger. I want to make them be at my beck and call. I want to be able to say how high. And I say jump, and they say how high. These are very dangerous roads to go down. And sometimes friends will tell you, girl, that's all you need to do. Put that ring in his nose so he'll be, you know, hooked on whatever you say. No. Because you have to answer to Allah. Allah's going to ask you in the day of judgment, why did you feel the need
to take control of my human being in that particular way and take the control and power out of their hands and put it in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
What gave you the authority to feel that you could do that and it would be all right, acceptable? That is a definite don't. You know, it's not proper to empower somebody, you know, in that particular way, because Allah says, I gave that person freedom, will of choice. It may not be the one that you want, decision that you want them to make, but that's the way it is. And sometimes with me, you can go to the point where you don't even believe in me anymore. Even though I created you, you can stop believing that there is a creator. And I don't stop everything. I let you find out later, because you know, we used to have this confused that when you do certain things, Allah will lead you astray. No, he will leave you astray.
Please make that plain, brother, man.
Right. No, don't get twisted. That's not what happened. He's not a punishing God. He's a merciful God. You know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, very important point. Very sharp point. Rashid, did I hear your voice?
Yes, sir. We do have a hand raised in the queue.
Oh, okay. Let's see what the caller have on their mind.
Okay, we have 810-610. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Everyone this evening, Rashid, Ma'am Pasha, and to you, Mark Shaheed, and to the IWDM listenership. This is the Preetha Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan.
Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's always an honor to hear you call in and express yourself. So do you have a question or comment for Imam Nazim Pasha, our special guest facilitator, or what?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say, just like the old folks say, and you know I'm always saying what the old folks say, and then you get to think, wait a minute, you not one of the old folks, you know?
Okay.
Say, Imam Pasha, you hit the nail on the head, young man, when you said, going to change somebody, going to make them to be what you want to do. And then you know what we do with that? We say, it's all right for me to do this because I'm wanting them to be like Allah say for them to be. How in the world can you say that? Like the Imam was saying, how can you say that? You trying to tamper with, now you're going to move in your sand, what you're doing, you're moving Allah's sand of what's Allah out the way and claiming that this is what he wants. That's not true, you know. So, right. And you're right, you'll end up with a Frankenstein or a She-Stein or whoever they is. I've been multitasking and just got in a little bit, but, hey. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I certainly do appreciate it. It's so good to hear you, Imam Pasha.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran. And yourself, too. I'll never forget that time in Flint, Michigan.
I'm good at lie. You're such a sweetheart. Nor will I. I won't forget it either. It's always a blessing to have a personality, a radio personality, and then you come and you get to actually meet them in person. Oh, yeah. I'm good at lie. You're a celebrity. I'm good at lie.
Well, thank you so much, the priest of Hadi, for that point that you are making in the commentary. I always want to say, to our IWDM radio listening audience, the priest of Hadi is one of the very distinguished, esteemed hosts on our sister station, AM 360 Radio. She hosts a production that's named Al-Islam in Focus. Learning Lab, Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, and it happens on AM 360 every Saturday evening, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, and you won't be disappointed. You listen in, you're going to learn something. You need to bring your pen and pad to that Learning Lab, and they call that number for that Learning Lab Every Saturday evening is 515-605-9891. That's 515-605-9891. Alice Farman Focus Learning Lab with the Prisa ID, and put a lot of emphasis on the new Shahadas. You know that coming into this way of life is a lot of great information. Yes, ma'am. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
I just said thank you, Tani, and it was good to hear all your guests this evening. And you got a great topic going on, as you always do. But I better make some type of something on that, because he is absolutely right. I done seen that happen. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think the priest and the Imam Pasha, that we have to respect Allah's creation. He respects his own creation in that he's given the human being a free will. It's a limited free will, but nevertheless, it is a free will. And Allah intended for his human creation to be able to choose, to make choices, to make decisions, and not be forced or compelled to make certain decisions and choices. However, Allah gives us the guidance in terms of whatever it is that we choose, what we choose, even to accept his signs, which meaning instructing signs, ayats in the Quran, instructing signs, they're actually messages to us. And Allah gives us instructing signs and give us messages in every aspect of our human life. But we have to choose or to accept them. Allah don't compel us to accept them. We can reject them, but Allah tells us what it is, you know, in that regard. So this is a sign for the human being, you know. If Allah is not controlling and patrolling us himself, and he could do that, he has the power to do that, we should allow each other, you understand, to utilize that free will to make good choices, the best choices, and all. And even in the sacred institution of marriage, you know, if you have to sit down and discuss something, and Allah says, if there's a difference, Allah gives us the guidance in the Quran. He said, in matters where you differ, in matters where you differ, refer it back to him and his messenger. And if both are believers, they should come to the conclusion of, as Imam Muhammad say, when he was asked in terms of what would be the most challenging thing when he became the leader of the community, his answer was putting God first and last. What did he mean? By putting the word of revelation in the Quran first, and then after that, it be the last word. And so I think that the wisdom is for two believers that they put the word of revelation, the Quran, first, and then make it the last word, and both abide by that. And this would be in the verses in the composition of the book of the Quran that would be explicit, which Allah says basic and fundamental, explicit. Because when it comes to relationships, you know, when we read that, even the Bible, when you read that, it's very, very explicit, very clear in that regard. Now, when you get into the narratives and others, now you understand oftentimes it's implicit. It needs allegorical. It needs explanation, you know, tafsir, clear explanation and all. But if you never get to that point, just the book of guidance in it is guidance, sure, without doubt, then believers, as true believers, they'll come to an agreement that Allah has the last word, not me, not you, but Allah has the last word. I just wanted to say that. I think that if, in fact, that we embody that, and we do as what it is Allah says to do there, then we'll have relationships that run a lot smoother, because we'll be incongruency that we accept Allah's word first and make it the last word in the relationship. Imam Pasha, thank you so much, the priest of Hadi. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. And if you have any other questions or comments, please feel free to press 1 and come back in. Any further comment on that, Imam Pasha?
Yeah, I'd just like to say this here, and then we could go on to number 11 or whatever is next.
Okay.
But just speaking to, and there's no sequence, I don't think, that you're trying to come up with. You just said them by the numbers and whatnot. But I think we do need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of remember them because I can't read.
Number 10. Number 10 has a significance because of 10 has a significance. I'm not going to start no numerology, but I'm just saying that when you see that, it has a significance as relates to Allah, not necessarily man. He's, you know, full of little tricks and stuff and whatnot, and he gets it wrong, and then he don't want to admit he got it wrong, and you got a problem. But you shouldn't look at that. But I wanted to say this about that control, because it is a very inviting thing for males and females, for human beings. And what I used to say to try to help myself with it and help others, he who seeks to control is the one that is most out of control.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I like that.
Because it's all passion-driven, and sometimes our emotions, that emotion will get out there by these two words. We don't realize that we've erred and that we open up our life to be a host for Satan. Because when you do that, when you seek to control another human being, that means, even though you haven't said it, it infers that I think I'm better than you, or I'm going to make your life better, and you're going to like it once you get used to it. You know, you're going to like being my footstool. Once you get used to it, you're going to like it. It's going to be better, because you were making bad decisions. But they were mine. Don't take away my decision making because you think you can do better than me. Invite me, lead me. Be an example for me, but don't take away my ability to do it, because that's how I learn. This is a teachable moment. I made a mistake. I mistook something for something else. That was what Adam did, and then once he repented, he was back on the road. But if you don't give him a chance to repent and to right the ship, you're taking charge, and next thing you know, I'm seeing through your eyes versus seeing through my eyes. It's a very, very serious violation, and I just wanted to emphasize that, because it's very serious.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. Sometimes we're innocent. Sometimes we're not innocent. But once you find out you're doing it, you need to stop.
Yeah. Stop. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought up that, you know, in the narrative of Adam, it also needs to be said, you know, Imam Pasha, that he met with a word. He met with a word. What word? He met with the word of revelation from his Lord. It wasn't the Quran then, but Allah was always sending revelation from the very inception of the human being. And when he met with that word, it brought back his consciousness, it restored his consciousness, and immediately he did repent. See, this is very, very important, you know, as Imam Muhammad teaches us, in terms of the two mercies, Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. The merciful benefactor. Allah is the most merciful benefactor. But he's the most merciful redeemer. And how is it that he redeems man? Like, he's always redeemed man from the very inception of the first man through his word of revelation. This brings about the consciousness. You know, when you slip, when you forget, when you become unconscious, it is the word of revelation that brings the consciousness back to you. And then when you do, you know that you have wronged yourself. You know you have disobeyed God, whether it was intentional or unintentional. Disobedience is disobedience. And so then you repent. So this is very, very important, you know, to understand that we can and we will, as human beings. We may make, as Imam Pasha said, make mistakes, make errors. But the word mistake is two words. It's not used in the learning lab. It's mistake. The only real mistake that it is that we make in our life experiences is when we mistaking something from it. Oftentimes, it's called a lesson. It's less on us. That's two words, too. It's less on us. We put the burden and the stress on ourselves because Allah tells us that He doesn't do that. So when we look at that, we don't want to miss taking something from the experience. And Imam Pasha is right, because we do learn and we can learn from our experiences. If, in fact, we properly assess them, you know, we use here in this learning lab the word idea, how it is that we learn, but also that same word acronym is how we teach. You learn through instructions. The instructions that we're talking about is from the Quran, the last revelation that Almighty God has given to all of humanity, not just for Muslims, it's for all of humanity. It's not discriminatory here. It's for all of humanity. And that D stands for demonstration. Mm-hmm. So Allah teaches us not only in terms of telling us, but also showing us, this show and tell. So the demonstration of the word of revelation is the finality of God's prophets and His messenger, Muhammad. He demonstrates the Quran. He lived the Quran. When you talk about walking, it's not like you see a Quran, actual book, walking, but He embodied the Quran and He lived the Quran. This is very important. This is why you can't just have al-Islam just without having the prophet, because he was al-Basharun Muslimakum. So he actually models in every phase of our life, including the sacred institution of marriage. And I dare say that even in his time, that he even married in terms, I mean, he even modeled what bachelorhood was all the way up until the age of 25. Now, how many will we think, it's just a rhetorical question, how many, you understand, in terms of chastity, can we actually say that? You know, I'm not asking that question for anybody to answer or respond. We don't have confessions in this way of life. But he modeled that. He modeled that too, you see. So this is very, very important that we actually assess our experiences. Yes, there will be errors. There will be mistakes, but don't miss taking something from the experience. And there will be shortcomings where we come up short, you see. And if we are conscious, regardful of God's word, we're always looking to improve ourselves, to evolve ourselves with Allah's help. And actually, your helpmate can help you, and you can be helped in the relationship. That's where the compatibility, if you're compatible, then Allah promises that you'll be able to live together in tranquility. This is a reflection of the rest of the creation, and this is what Allah would have His sacred institution. This is His institution. This is what He has established, and Allah tells us that in Surah Furqan. So I just want to say that, and if any of our radio listening audience have any questions, once again, or comments that they'd like to make, or what it is they're hearing is resonating with them, we do invite you to press 1, come into the queue, and you can ask your question or make your comment. And so if you don't have any other comments, Imam Pasha, we'll move to, I think it's number 11. I'm not sure, but I think it's number 11. But what's most important, it would be the next one. Do not complicate your first interaction. Don't complicate. What do you mean say complicate? You know, if we think about complicate, we should think about the opposite, the antonym, in terms of simplify. Do not complicate. How do people complicate? I'm talking about in courtship, your first encounter. Well, you complicate that first encounter because you want to do too much. You might want to know too much. You might want to give too much. Person just meeting you, just want to just share a little story of something that I know and realize that happened within maybe say the last 5 years. I'm not calling any names, but the person, and he was a brother, but he didn't know how to proceed in the first interaction in terms of actually communication, and he complicated this first interaction. You know that old saying, you know, first impressions or a lasting impression, or some people say it's never forgotten or what in that regard, but you can really complicate it in this first interaction by just saying too much. And one of the things that complicated was he started to fan to this sister all about his past, and his past was not so good. It was kind of scary, eerie, if you would be, in terms of that. Now, here it is that you're bringing that up first and introducing that first, whereas that now presently you're a different person, but you complicated it because you didn't have an idea as to how to proceed. And just, I use the word kiss, K-I-S-S, keep it simply simple. Keep it simply simple. It's a good way, a good approach in regards to that. As your relationship evolves, then you begin to, you know, and especially if there's still a mutual interest that's there, that's why this premarital questionnaire kind of help and kind of be as a guide to you in that regard, because at any point it could be a deal breaker. But if you complicate in your first interaction encounter, it could be a deal breaker from the very beginning. I'm not seeing Pasha. It's like, whoa, that was a bit much, overwhelming. I didn't really get to meet the real you as to who you are now, because what you dropped on me, that person is almost backing up, and if you could see them, they may take off running. So don't complicate. This is a don't. Don't complicate your first interaction in the courtship. And a lot of times things are said, you know, you used that word prematurely earlier. This is could be a good example of prematurely. My grandmother used to always say, she only went to the fifth grade in a Mississippi school, but she said she didn't have a lot of education, she would always say, but I have a lot of mother wit. And she used to always tell us, you know, there's a time and there's a place for everything. And sometimes we don't consider the time nor the place, and so we can really bring about many complications in that first encounter. So with that being said, I'm going to give you an opportunity to expound upon that from your perspective, Imam Pasha.
Yeah, this is a good one because it hits home with me. I can really relate to it.
These are do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So, you know, people that may have had in the past, you know, just had their approach, maybe not knowing it was the best approach, and maybe they just saw it the opposite way. I'm going to get all this out. Boom, boom. You know, this is me. This is who I've been, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes it can be very overwhelming if you're the recipient of that. So in this here 25 Do's and Don'ts of Islamic courtship, it says, don't complicate your first interaction.
I'm very familiar with this because, like I said before, I thought I had a gift for gab, and I made sure I had a little elevator presentation and all that and all that. But in reality, you can be guilty of saying, like you said, too much too fast, and the person doesn't find it attractive because you seem to know it all, you got all the answers. You're saying the right things, right on cue, right on tail. You know, now you're just too perfect. It's too good to be true. And you end up, like you said before, putting foot in mouth disease. It's a very common disease, and a lot of people suffer from it. And I was very, very guilty of it, you know, because I had a whole lot to say, and I should have been aware of the fact that the way you really make yourself attractive, I think the people said, the saying is, people want to know that you care before they care what you know. That is a principle that you have to really resolve yourself to do. And what it will put you in, it'll put you in the listening mode versus the talking mode. You don't even know what to say because that person hadn't even said anything. Give them a chance to say something, and then you know what to talk about. You see where they're at with the whole, I'm getting to know you, I just met you, I just saw you, I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim, I'm single, you're single. Okay, everything's going real good. Don't mess it up by not making sure that you're a very good listener and you have good communication skills. I call it like playing table tennis. The ball is hit to you. Wait for the ball to get hit to you, and then you can hit the ball back. Back and forth, the conversation goes just like table tennis. You know what I'm saying? There's an object to it. Eventually, you're going to show your prowess, and you're going to do all this other stuff. But right now, you're just determining who's going to be the one who serves the ball. So you're going back and forth with the conversation, making sure it's bouncing out and making sure that you are really listening, not you're waiting for your turn to talk. That's the difference. You're really listening to what's being said to you because you want the person to know that you're empathetic, you have this ability to put yourself in the other person's place, and a lot of things that come along with it. But that's the other last little thing I want to say with that. There's another saying that I've utilized and is very helpful. Everything happens for a reason, but not always the reason that we think.
Mm-hmm.
And until you get down to the bottom and the heart of the matter, then you'll know. You say, oh, well, I placed it right here in my path. Yeah, but it might have been just to tell you something about yourself. Maybe not been to marry. Maybe not to even be your mate. Maybe just be a good friend. You know, maybe someone that really understands you and lets you be you, but wouldn't want to spend the rest of their life with you. Big difference. Okay, big difference. And a lot of times we get the two twisted and we go off and we're off on a tangent. But that hasn't been said. What I'm trying to show you right now, I like you. You got great style. You got the same kind of things that I like in a person, but not the person that I want to marry. And you have to really let that happen and let it be, like you said, mutual, and then you're off and running to a good start.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's wow, some valuable points that you make, and I like that analogy that you use, because actually, you know, the heart of the relationship is really, in fact, communication. It's really communication. There's going to be a time in the communication you're going to be the server, and then there's going to be a time that you're going to be the receiver. You see, the receiver. And so this is very, very important when you're talking about keep it simply simple in that regard. Sometimes we can go just a little too deep for the person, you know. You know, in boxing, you know, I'm a fan of boxing, and oftentimes, when you have two talkers, I want to compare them to maybe say you have two champions in the ring at the same time. Oftentimes what you will see is what they call the first round. It's kind of like a feeling out, you know. It's like you know, the commentators say, well, they kind of like filling out each other. They, you know, they're not unloading the heavy artillery because they don't know whether they can do that or not. It's just filling out. You know, they're trying to get a feel for, in this case, in boxing, their opponent. In this case, in terms of courtship, you're not seeing that person as an opponent. You're seeing that person as a potential mate, and we could put teammate, you know, there, a potential mate. You know, as we say, soulmate, helpmate, we can put those type of words in front of that. So that being a server, but also taking pride in being a receiver is so very, very important so that you don't complicate this first encounter, because then that person will come away and say, wow, that person said a whole lot. I didn't even get a chance to really question them on some of the things they said and what happened. And everything, they just threw a lot at me all at one time. So this can be very complicating, you know. And so there's a natural order, as we say, in good relations. It requires good communication and observation is the natural order of operation. So to understand how relations should go and what's the natural order for that, there is an order for that, and if it's not in order, then it's disorder. And you want the person to be able to walk away somewhat being fulfilled. This was just the first encounter. We just kind of like was feeling each other out. Nothing real, real heavy. You know, keeping that acronym in mind, KISS. KISS, keep it simply simple and everything, whereas that the door is open again for the next encounter, interaction. But you don't want to close the door in just the first interaction, you know, by making it very, very complicated. And, you know, Imam Pasha, today, you know, we see that people have a tendency to become very apprehensive if they think that they'll be getting into a complicated situation. And so this is another aspect you want to look at because if, in fact, what people feel and what they think, you know, we were on the Sister Learning Lab just yesterday, we was talking about one of the 21 indispensable qualities of a leader, and one of those was relationship. And so a good leader, you know, uses the head. It was the three H's, head, heart, and hand. But the one that's using his head is very much concerned about how people think and how they feel. And so in any communication or relationship, there's going to be some thought and there's going to be some feelings. And so when we complicate things, sometimes it can be an overload, that person can feel like, whoa, if I get into this relationship, it's going to be very complicating. And I feel like it's going to be complicated. And I think, I feel. So in other words, you know, my heart and my mind is saying the same thing. I don't know about that. Maybe I should just terminate it right here and right now, you know, in that regard. So you want to just kind of keep it simply simple. And when we look at the natural growth, you know, of things in life, we see that they don't just evolve immediately or rapidly. There's a little time there. You know, when you usually buy a rose, that rose is closed. And it just slowly and naturally opens up. And so if we look at these things in creation, they'll kind of give us a sign in terms of how we should be. Because Almighty God, Allah said that he put us in the earth growing like a plant. And so when you look at what has been planted, you know, that seed don't manifest itself all at one time. Mm-hmm. So you want to get some good roots, and you don't see them at first. You don't see everything at first. You don't see all what that seed has as a potential. And so we can look at relationships likewise. It's a natural process of evolution. And so if we just remember that we want to, as they say, we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot right off the bat. You know, drop the chug-a-lug, as we used to say back in the day. Just drop the chug-a-lug. That person go away thinking and feeling, oh, my God, is this how it's going to be? You know, and that may not be what it is that that person is looking for. And you may not be really particular to that person at all, but because we didn't really know what it is that we should say, how much we should say, and when we should say, and then we turn around and be the receiver of some of it and not feel like we have to just carry the conversation. So, alhamdulillah, and want to say those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Our co-host and co-facilitator, Karan Shakir, could not be with us tonight. She had death in the family, so really, please, keep her in your du'as. And what we have tonight, a very distinguished and esteemed guest, here is our special guest facilitator, Imam Nazim Pasha, offering some excellent, excellent insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed him with. And we are talking about the 25 do's and don'ts, and we're at number, I think, 11 or 12, you know. But the most important thing is don't complicate your first interaction. Imam Nazim Pasha, any other further commentary you'd like to make? Yeah,
I just wanted to say these two things, and they have, you know, so easy to remember. Back when you were talking about not going too fast, you know, because growth takes place in stages, you know, and people are in different places and different times in their lives, you know, and the culture doesn't help, you know. They don't put you in front of information that's really enlightens you. It's designed to entertain you, you know, and you get off with people's minds. They like for you to keep things very soft, just like they do with the commercials. Make everything fun, you know, and that's not the way life is. That's why you look at the graduation, they started out with IQ. Then they went to EQ. IQ was your intelligence quotient. Then they went to your emotional quotient, the ability to emotional thinking. And then they said, now, AQ, how well do you handle adversity? Do you take it personally?
Yes.
Do you always want the sun to be shining? You can't handle a rainy day or a snow day or the seasons changing? Do everything that people do, does it become about you, or you take everything personal? See, so those things are in place, and that's another reason why you have to give people a chance to grow and understand, meet them where they are, and help lead them where they want to go, not where you want them to go. I got a when I was in high school, a young lady signed my book, the book you get, your graduation book. We were all seniors, and she signed. You know how you get people sign your book when you graduate?
Yeah,
but anyway, and she left and walked away, and after she signed, and you could tell she had gotten really excited about her penmanship. Big letters and fancy, right? I didn't even realize they don't even do cursive anymore. Cursive is not talk anymore.
Is that right? I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
It's not taught anymore.
I must have been out of
That's another story for another time. But anyway, beautiful handwriting, all cursive and whatnot. And when I finally could make out the letters, it was like calligraphy. I said, oh, man. I didn't know who she was talking about. I said, that's not me. You're this, mm-hmm. and you're that, and you have that, and not you do that. And I was like, and after about 2 days, it finally dawned on me, oh, she was describing the person that she wanted me to be. Because she wanted to be married with this Prince Charming that she had envisioned all of her life, and I was the closest thing to it, but I wasn't there yet. So she was giving me instructions on how to be and what to be and how to do and everything. And I was like, whoa, she has a strong imagination, first of all, but she's under an illusion. See, that's another thing. Don't take an illusion, and it's kind of like putting people on a pedestal, but it's even deeper than that. Because whatever they have the potential to be,
mm-hmm.
it's not online yet, and it comes online with these two O's. Not overnight, but over time. And when you look at those two O's, they're just like glasses. You can change your lens by changing your glasses, by giving them a chance to be the person that they can be and be their best self in being that. But if you get too busy and you start doing their work for them, it's not going to work
mm-hmm.
because that's too
mm-hmm.
much work. While you should be working on yourself, you're working on them.
Yes.
Now, you done dropped the ball that you should have been working on yourself to work on them, and now you got them ready to be who you want them to be, but you're not ready because you spent too much time working on them, so that approach is not going to work. Use your work wisely, and it'll work. But if you use your work
yes.
to get them in shape to be what you want them to be, then at the end
yes.
of the day, it's not going to work.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I love it, Imam Pasha. You know, not overnight. It's over time. And, boy, I tell you, boy, many have been guilty of wanting that call microwave type results. This is a microwave society today,
yeah.
Looking for instant gratification. Give it to me fast, you know, and usually it don't last, but give it to me fast anyway, you know. So I really love it. I mean, this is such valuable points that you actually making and everything. And then once again, you know, trying to alter and to change people. Once again, an acronym that I use in the workshops, very important, and it could be used here. Choose to have a new growth experience. You know, change come about. It's an inside job. It's an inside job. It's not an outside job. You know, and the first letter in the word change in this acronym that could be helpful, I always call it gold nugget. If you can use it, then put it in your purse. Put it in your back pocket.
Yeah,
you might be
so,
able to use it some
I basically...
Mark, you have a hand raised.
Oh, we do.
Yes, sir. You have a hand raised.
Oh, okay. Let's go. Let's go to the caller and see what
yes,
they have
sir.
On their mind.
We have,
thank you, Rashid.
We have 478-672. Please state your name and tell us where you call it from.
Okay.
I'll call you right back.
Assalamu alaikum. You're live on IWDM Radio. Your question or comment, please.
Joshua and I, we spoke briefly last week, and
478-672.
I'm on. Am I on?
Yes, you're alive. You're live here on IWDM Radio. Your question or comment, please.
Goodness.
Welcome to the
Courtship
and Marriage Learning Lab. Your question or comment.
You know, the New Year's coming, right? Like I was
talking
about
Rashid, mute yourself. Mm-hmm. You got noise in the back. So, yes,
you know,
go ahead, caller.
Fundraising and things like that, I don't know if, you know, what has came up.
Okay, caller.
Yes.
Walaikum assalam. Go ahead. You are live here on IWDM Radio. You have a question or comment that you'd like to ask?
I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I was enjoying doing the Imam, and I like how he laid that out, speaking on, you know, the woman drawing him up to what she wants him to be. And that's a lot of times that a lot of us get caught up in that, I think, in relationships from being introduced to what we think life is about in terms of engaging, you know, watching TV and listening to fairy tales. And it impacts us, influence us very strongly, and we don't really come out of that unless we really embrace Islam. And a lot of people claim they embrace Islam, but the true understanding that this society really brainwashed us with TV influences, Hollywood stars from children, you know, romanticizing relationships, taking them away from our obedience to God, because most of us start off on a straight path once we get to adolescent age, because we've been taught not to believe in fairy tales and happy ever after stories and how they should be drawn up. We don't really follow a scripture. And,
yes, sir.
If we don't realize that the importance of family life and married life is going to be strong, we don't know that as kids. I'm saying being kids, or let me say young adults, as adolescents, 14, 15, our adolescent age, we started to want to move on the opposite sex and having trials and error. Remember, we're not practicing this now. We come off of street influences and TV ideas and what we're about. Even that young lady that was mentioning up the imam, she watching TV and she listening to her peers, and she think, well, this is how my man's supposed to be. She don't see her man supposed to be a businessman and a Muslim serving the law. Because if we're serving the law, no business is greater than the business of the law. So for the imams, leaders and imams that hold that office of the prophet, they saying, I'm going to serve the law. I'm going to serve. Why would we, give permission how to think? We deputizing somebody saying, come on in. We're holding up, we're going to follow that law. So we have to, when we're talking to people about engaging in marriages and family life, we have to let them know the importance and seriousness of bringing in the next generation and having that strong bond, because we are what? The best name, the imam said, is Abdullah. We are servants of Allah. After all the rest of that about black and white, who's the imam, who's not, who knows the most.
Yes, sir.
We are servants Abdullah.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, did you give your name and where you call from? Because I know some people know that famous voice, but everybody don't know who you are. So please, before you sign off, and we get some commentary from Imam Pasha on some of the commentary you gave. So who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm Brother Muhammad Mubarak from Fort Valley, Georgia. And me and you talked on occasions. And
I know that. Out in Los Angeles, in L.A.
Yeah, yes, sir. Mr. St. Louis with Red Fox and
that's
Leo.
Right.
Adios.
So you know, you always, and we really want to thank you, Brother Muhammad, because you always been very supportive. You call in and you make some excellent commentaries, some excellent points and things to consider. You know how much I appreciate you. So we're going to see if, in fact, our special guest facilitator, he have any comments on your comments. And as we're glad to know that what he has said tonight has resonated with you. So thank you so much, Brother Muhammad. And keep on listening, brother, and keep on calling in. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out to queue. Imam Pasha, you heard Brother Muhammad. Any response to some of the things that he said? Some very valuable things.
I'll be brief because I want to save enough time at the end in case someone has a question. But he's right on the money, and it resonated with him, and that's always a thing. You never know who's going to hear what and who it's going to resonate with, because our experiences are our experiences, and when someone else has a very similar experience, then you're going to have a certain same kind of output or observations as he did. And that's very important because it is very prevalent today. People are almost guilty of stalking, and you hear these strange stories that people report. Well, this happened to me, and then all of a sudden the script got flipped. No, it was that way from the beginning. You know, Lisa said, you got played, you know, but it's not about playing. It's about people putting themselves out there, making little suggested moves. The YouTube is just full of young ladies out there that are saying things that's double speak. You're sending one message, trying to get money for your subscription or for your what do you tell them? You're listening to my station, and they think everybody gonna go up and blow up and get money like whoever's the Kardashians or whatever that became thousands of dollars just because they got so many followers. You have someone following you home and stalking you if you're not careful because you look like you're 25, but you're only 16. And you don't want to really have double messages being sent out there. And you don't want to tell people or suggest to people that you're ready for anything and anything goes and it's your boat and you can float it. And all the stuff that's out there, I see it all the time. And I see that YouTube puts restrictions on you in terms of age restrictions, but they don't put restrictions on checking those things, and you got people putting themselves out there and advertising in a way and soliciting things that they will maybe come back and haunt them later on. You don't want to say things that is not it's too sexualized, it's too provocative, and it sends the wrong message.
Yes, alhamdulillah, that's excellent. You know, as we get close to the top of the hour here, I don't know if we have time to go into another one, which is a good one. You know, do plan your day around. Do plan around a stressful day. How important that can be. But inshallah, it'll be next week. And I don't know what your schedule is. But alhamdulillah, I would love to. We'll talk off air and see how your schedule is. But we're going to utilize these last few minutes in giving you an opportunity, Imam Nazim Pasha, to give closing remarks that you would like to leave the radio listening audience with. If there's any contact information you'd like to leave the radio listening audience with, and everything, you have opportunity to do that. I know I have truly, truly enjoyed tonight the insight and wisdom that you shared with us here on some of these do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. And, you know, I think that, you know, in the different phases of our life and aspects, I should say, of our life, we just haven't had I guess, really pertinent information that we really, really needed to have, that really would have been a benefit had we been, maybe say, armed with some of these things before we really began to pursue, a spouse or even understood something about the sacred institution of marriage. And, you know, today it has... In Western society, I should say, it's not in our community, obviously, because it's half of our religion or our way of life. But in Western society, it has really been denigrated. It's been really marginalized, minimized, if you will, in terms of it not being important. And actually, what constitutes marriage today? And what it is that the Creator has really established and what it is that man is trying to establish. So I'm just saying some of those things, and this is why it is that not because Mark Shaheed is doing this or Allah put this on my heart to do this, but I see this as vitally needed and necessary to help to try to provide aid and assistance to those who are sincere and want to have all it is that Allah wants us to have in this life, because this is what it is he has established, and we need to see it as God's will and plan to help to provide a more productive life and more productive human beings, and also becomes a model for the future generations and all too. So with that being said, want to give you the opportunity to last 3-4 minutes here, you know, for any parting remarks that you would like to make, any information in regards to website or what. I don't know if you want to do that, but feel free to do that. Imam Pasha.
Yes, sir. What I want to leave with right now is that, you know, that because, you know, you and I are not guaranteed tomorrow, and neither are the people that we're listening to. So a good book to really get a feel for how to approach mm-hmm. people or what this person is like is called Personality Plus. I mean, to know the person's personality, know how they receive information, know how they communicate information. This is an excellent book. I mean, it's empirical science, but the person mm-hmm. has been sincere about their work, and Allah rewards that, to try to tell another human being about another human being. I mean, and how to really know that we're all the same, but we're all different at the same time, and we receive things differently. And some people, like with me, I'm what they would call a melancholy choleric. I mean, I lack detail. I'm attention to detail. I love words. So the more words you say, and the better you say it, I'm gonna write it down. You know, because that's what I have a lot of faith in my ability to communicate. And I told mm-hmm. on the program that you were on that was when I heard in the NOI class that one Saturday morning, you know what you want to say, but do you know how to say it so somebody else can understand it? Very profound statement. Very much makes you aware that you have the responsibility to communicate if you want to be heard. You know, I tell a lot of people, and sometimes it's your mate, that, hey, if you don't mind repeating what you said again, if you sincerely want me to know what you just said. I heard it, but I didn't understand it. So if you wouldn't mind, would you repeat yourself? And that's one of the things that people don't like to do. I said it now. How come I got to say it again? And, because you want me to hear it. You want me to understand.
Why do you think that's so disturbing, Imam Pasha?
You're trying to say something to me,
you know,
and you won't repeat it, you know. That's very important. But lastly, so I won't get that story, 5 love languages. I mean, you're in with people that have different ways. She may not respond to flowers. She might not respond to candy. But she might respond to you deciding to help her around the house with some of the domestic chores, because that's her love language. So if you know your mate's love language, same thing with your husband. Don't assume that he's just going to want to sit down and watch the football with you or whatever, because you don't want to watch it. You just want him in there to be with you. But what might really get him in here, if you know his love language,
yes.
You know her love language, you're going to have a willing recipient to be with you, because you communicated in the language that they fully understand.
That's right.
And they fully will respond to, because that's their love language.
Yes. And let me say this, that is excellent publication. I endorse it also. It's in my library. And the author of that book is Dr. Gary Chapman. He's authored other books, but the 5 love languages is excellent recommendation. What was that first one that you gave, Imam Pasha?
It's Personality Plus. I forget the author's name, but once you Google in Amazon,
that's all they need. Personality Plus.
Yeah,
the author's name will come up. So yes, Personality Plus. Those are two. I've heard of that. I don't know the author's name either. Personality Plus. But the 5 love languages, I'm very familiar with. Have done workshops all for them, and that would be very, very helpful in knowing. And just to know that love is a language, but it's expressed different ways.
Absolutely. Say it that way, you'll find other ways to say the same thing. How can I say? It's in the same category. But it's in other words, I'll say it this way. When I heard Will Downing say there's 100 ways to say I love you, I mean, I felt happily in educated, but I felt very stupid, because all those years I just thought it was just saying it. I love you. No, I love you more.
Okay.
You know, well, no, that's not the real wealth of saying it. It doesn't really register as well as you can say, well, I'm going to cook tonight, or I'm going to buy out tonight, or I'm going to take you on a date tonight, or I'm going to be out, and not PDA, public display of affection. I'm going to hold your hand as we walk up to the store or to the restaurant or wherever we're going. I'm going to make you know that I really want to be here with you here in this moment, and I don't mind the public knowing it too, because I'm going to hold your hand as you walk up the store or when you're coming back to the car. That is a great help, because you're making a public declaration. This is my honey bun or whatever you want to call that dear name you have. And we're seeing the same thing from you, because she's holding your hand and you holding her hand. Y'all are both really agreeing that the whole handing process is because I care about this person and I care about spending my time with them, and I'm showing it in this public way, and it's not awkward or outwardly too romantic, you know?
Yes, sir. I think I hear Rashid Salam there. Rashid, okay. Were you trying to get in here?
Yeah, I was just trying to say it's been a very delightful show tonight. And Imam Pasha, I mean, this is just beautiful. We love your insight and the information you brought to the table. And this was one of the best courtship and marriage seminars I've been on in a long time. So I just wanted to give you the greeting, my good brother. Inshallah, we'll talk soon. As-salamu alaykum.
Absolutely. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, sir, and I want to echo that also, Imam Nazim Pasha. You know, it's always, as a stone blast, using some of the words of the late Don Cornelius, as always, the host of Soul Train, whenever I have you on. And I know the radio listening audience really have benefited greatly because we asked them to take notes, and sometimes we have a somewhat of a quiet listenership, but they're taking good notes, brother. And I know that I have benefited greatly from listening to you, not only tonight, but just over the years and some of the conversations that we've had together. And really, really appreciate you accepting my invitation and coming on. We'll talk off air and see how your schedule runs. But you've done an excellent, excellent job tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and sharing with us your insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with and all. So thank you so much, and you know, the door is always open for you here on IWDM Radio, not only here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but maybe, inshallah, one day we'll be able to get you on the round table. I know that kind of conflict with your schedule, I'm kind of familiar with where you have to be usually on Wednesday. So, alhamdulillah, we'll just take whatever we can get whenever we can get it, you know. So thank you once again, Imam Nazim Pasha, and may Allah continue to bless you richly. And we'll be looking forward to your next appearance here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to say assalamu alaikum to you at this point. Yes, sir. You can be dismissed now if you want, but you can stay on and listen. You can stay on and listen to the announcements here. So that concludes the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight with our very distinguished and esteemed guest, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha. We really thank him. And we want to thank the radio listening audience tonight in terms of tuning in and listening in, and especially those who pressed one and participated in terms of questions or comments that they may have given. I want to also remind you, those of you who listen to IWDM Radio, that tomorrow, Friday, that's Salatul Jumu'ah Day, a very important day for the Muslims all around the world, Salatul Jumu'ah, for those who are immobilized and maybe can't get out. Salatul Jumu'ah is here on IWDM Radio with the very distinguished esteemed longtime resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center, Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer of Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins every Friday afternoon here at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio happens each and every Sunday morning, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center, as he always have very intriguing guests and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. I think it's going to be a very, what they call, hot production in lieu of some of the things that happened in the last week this community or in the world itself with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that happens every Sunday afternoon. It's 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central. And it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Words make people. Words make people. So you want to tune in for that. And we also want to say that one of the latest production that we have here, but it's a fast-growing production, a lot of interest, a lot of intrigue, a lot of great information and education on the science of your health and you. And that's hosted by a very distinguished, esteemed host, none other than Rashid Salam, and his returning occurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed from the Jewel of the South, the ATL. He joins him. And they actually are on the 11 of the systems that Allah has created. It's the science of your health and you. How many of us know that there are 11 systems that's there? And so this week they will be spotlighting and highlighting one of the most important systems. And most certainly we should want to learn about that in lieu of all it is that this country and other people across the world have been enduring in terms of the COVID and everything. How this system that Allah has created, the immune system, work, that will be the topic. So you want to tune in for that. That happens every Tuesday night. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, The Science of Your Health and You with Rashid Salam, and also his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. So this is a learning lab. You want to bring a pen and pad and take good notes. And it's a family affair here, IWDM Radio. You know, so invite the whole family. Invite the whole family, because all of us have an immune system, and it's part of the makeup. So we should want to know how that works. So tune in, listen in, and also press 1 and call in and ask all the questions that you want. And as they continue this series on the 11 systems that Almighty God, Allah, has created in the human creation. And so every Wednesday is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Co-host is Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean from Miami, Florida, and also yours truly, Mark Shaheed. She joins me in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab that starts every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio, as we're doing an accelerated version of the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. Yesterday with Dr. Mother Sister Baiza Muhammad, one of the distinguished hosts, I shouldn't say co-host, because she hosts that all by herself, on Healing and Harmony for Humankind, joined us yesterday. And so Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean will be back in the chair with me next week, inshallah, God willing. And we will be on the 16th of the Indispensable Essential Qualities, yes, which is responsibility. So we want to make sure that you tune in for that. And then following that would be the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, where I always have very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. Last night, if you missed the MGM Roundtable, you missed a good one. As all of That's this right. past month, the highlights was on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and also his son, Imam W.D. Muhammad, as we had at the round table, the very distinguished thing, the Midwest convener, but also the national convener of Imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, joined us for an excellent two-hour production. So if you missed that, you need to go back into the archive so you can retrieve it. Some outstanding information was given and disseminated last night. So look forward. I got a special guest. Won't tell you. So you need to stay tuned to IWDM Radio and tune in next Wednesday. Also want to remind you to support Fitra Muhammad, as she is the founder and the CEO of Study Al Islam, some of the most outstanding intellects in the community of Imam Warisuddin Muhammad. Have appeared on that, and she has some excellent life topics. I think Imam Yahya Abdullah will be winding it down, and then they'll take a break, And Nisa Dewan was on last week. So they have a new number. That new number is 717-908-1837. Once again, that's 717-908-1837. The access code is still the same as it has been for years now. That's 684012#, 684012#. I'm thankful to Allah. He blessed me to remember all of this information. And for those who are in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it starts at 10 a.m. for you. It's 9 a.m. if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, and it is 7 a.m. Pacific Coast Time for Study Al Islam. And also want you to note that Fitri Muhammad has said that this Ramadan, you know, the Study Al Islam will start a couple of 2 or 3 days early, because the spotlight is going to be on the 99 attributes, the 99 attributes of Almighty God Allah. Now, that's more than Allah has more than just attributes, but it'll be 99. So you want to stay tuned for that. Also, last but not least, here on IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, my good sister and friend, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, and her staff have made tremendous sacrifice to keep the Muslim Journal alive, as it is the lifeblood of our community. If you're a Muslim, you should be reading the Muslim Journal. So if you have your subscription, think about somebody in your family, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member, an elder, a pioneer, the library, where the city or municipality where you live, make a donation and make sure that they have the Muslim Journal, and they also accept donations year-round. If you only have one major fundraiser a year, that is a time to be grateful. So let's make sure that we support the Muslim Journal as it has supported us down through the years. And also, you know, I want to thank all of you, because without you, that could not be an IWDM radio, and most certainly we couldn't have productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab and the others. Want to thank, a special thanks goes to my engineer tonight, always Johnny on the spot, so to speak, and that's Rashid Salam for doing an excellent job, as always. Special thanks to my special guest facilitator, Imam Nazim Pasha. And so, with that being said, did you have something that you want to say before we tune out here, Rashid?
No, I'm good. Mark, it was a wonderful show.
Oh, you're good. Okay, good.
And I just thank those who was on, that it was just exciting. I'm excited and ignited, my good brother. I just want you to know that.
He might be a poet and don't know it. But until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. That's all, folks.